Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters, in the most beloved name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my great privilege and honor to be in your midst. I met your president in 1978. Ever since then, I pray for him. And when I met him, and he was getting dozens of phone calls, threatenings for his life, and a man who pioneered a revival, a revolution in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I praise God for him. And friends, when God gives us a vision, we must never be frightened or scared to stand for it and go for it. And God's blessing will be there. And after 78, that last year was the first time I met him in person. And wherever he was, I was getting the news and where he is and how God is using. And I praise God that I am here. I could be in your compound in the chapel, and I appreciate and I thank you for making it possible. So happy to see Will and Summer. I saw Finney Matthew. I heard about him several times. This was the first day I had the privilege of seeing. Thank you for accommodating my grandson and to be here. And I praise God for that. And thank you, Dr. Wayne, and for coming all the way from Murfreesboro to be with me and to be an encouragement at this occasion. Now shall we turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. One of the most famous scriptures in the entire Bible, which I love, and which many of you young people memorized, and you know it, you must have preached on it several times. But it came back to me last month once again with a new life and a new strength. I was blessed in my heart, so I like to read it, and we will study together from that word. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the seminary. Thank you for these young people sitting here and with a vision, looking for a brighter vision and for saving the nation, saving the nations around. Lord, I pray and ask you to bless everyone who is sitting here. Give every one of us the needed message. We prayed for the sick. We thank you for listening that prayer. I pray once again for thy healing and upon everyone who is here. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Where there is no vision, people perish. It is spoken for a person, not a group. And the following sentence says, but he that keepeth the law, that is singular. And happy is he, that is singular. The vision the Lord gives to individuals. Never he has given a vision to a committee. Never God called a committee for a mission or a project. The Lord called Moses, gave him the vision. To follow him, the Lord gave the vision to Joshua. He did not call a committee before Moses died. Moses, why don't you make a committee and impart the vision to them? Friends, God is looking for a person. His eyes running around the entire world is to show himself strong in the behalf of that person who is truly willing to trust. Friend, he doesn't need a multitude of people. And don't ever say, what shall I do? The world is so wicked and terrible, bad and this and that. Who said the world is not wicked? And you tell me when it was better. Can you tell me one time in the entire history and the world was better than this? What about the days of Noah? What about the days of Abraham and Lot? And what about the days of any of the Old Testament or New Testament, any prophet? Friends, remember, God looked for a person in the days of Noah, and the Bible says even the imagination of man was continuously evil. There was not even one person God could find in the entire world. And there, then a young man came with a vision. And he wanted to get the vision from the Lord. And he's called Noah. And it kept on in the history. And even today, God is looking for a person. Here it is written, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we say, we repeatedly preach and say, why people are perishing? Because they are wicked. And they are bad. They are terrible. And we say, and America is perishing because we have homosexuals. Man, that is wrong. But do you know what the Bible says? Why people are perishing? Because there is no vision. And God's people, young men, young ladies, and God need a man. In the book of Ezekiel, he says, I looked for one person, not two, one person, to stand between me and the whole generation and the whole land of Israel. I looked for only one person. And God is looking for that even today. Where there is no vision, people perish. Do you know why the world is perishing today? Why there is war in Israel, in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in India? We had disaster. Last year, January, you heard that more than 70,000-80,000 people died in 1 5-minute shake in Gujarat. And this year, in the same state, over 20,000 Muslims were burned alive. Today, news you have seen, another 4 more Muslims were burned. And when an Indian... And from a news coming from India, you listen that 4 people were burned. You can imagine minimum 400 people. And we are very specialized in speaking lies. And we are very and experts in doing that. Friends, please listen. Why it is happening? Because we didn't have man with a vision. And we completely left all the Islamic nations saying, oh, and that is a closed country. You tell me one place under heaven which is closed. How many flights are going to Saudi Arabia every day? How many flights are going to Dubai every day, being an American? And you need not even have a visa on your passport. You simply take your passport, or even Indian, those who have green card, and go to the custom and show that green card from America which is given. If you have a passport, simply walk in and you can stay there for 6 months or even more. But why we say it is closed? Because we don't want to lose our comfort. And friends, you tell me, in the days of and Paul or Peter, was there one country open for the gospel? Where he went in Thessalonica, in Corinth, and in every place in Thessalonica, and he was stoned, and he was stoned to death, and they dragged him, and put him in a ditch there, and he had no life. Nobody ever thought that he is going to live. But God gave him a second life. But did it stop? And what about Philippi? And a friend, there was never a door and a close for them. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9, he says, the Lord has kept an open door for me, but my adversaries and circumstance are very, 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 very bad. And there is a big lie all over the world saying, and the door in India is closed. What a lie. at least from every city, and at least from every city, that is, every international airport, 10 planes are flying to India, 747. And with more than 400 people, you can get a ticket and come there. And ask for a visa. But the thing is this, and we want all the comfort which you want, and then you wanted to preach the gospel. That is not possible. Where there is no vision, why there is calamity today? And friends, we rejected, we neglected Islamic nation. We were not willing to be and a sacrifice. We were not willing to go and said, as Paul said, it is better for me to die, and for me to live is gain, and die is gain, and living is Christ Jesus. And friends, if you are ready to do it, and you can ask. You ask Will and Summer. And I did not know her, the meaning of her name. And till she came 1 year and stayed in the summer, 120, 124, isn't it? But they didn't die, they are still alive. And friends, and where there is no vision, people perish, that's all. And friends, when you have a vision, and there is no door closed for the gospel in the entire world. In China, when we supposed to think that the door was open from 1949 to 1987, when they massacred and killed 1 million Christians out of 2.5 million Protestants and lived in China. And when they opened the door in China in 1987, do you know how many Christians were found? 86 million. Why? There was a man with a vision. And he went to houses, started underground churches. Do you know how many believers are there today through his effort or leading? 60 million. One person. One person. Do you know why God is not destroying China today? And all because of these people. Where there is no vision. And when you remember, when you see a calamity in America or anywhere in the world, all because there is not a man with a vision. In 1950, when India became republic, India became independent in 1947, we became republic in 1950. The man who wrote our constitution and was a Dalit from an untouchable background, he was a lawyer in England, Mr. Ambedkar, Dr. Ambedkar. And he was called by Nehru, and he wrote the constitution, and India's, and the Hindu policy, the Aryans who came to India, and became the leaders of India, and they became the rulers of India. Indians are called untouchable low caste Dalit, and divided into 4,000 castes, that they may never come together in unity. And this man, though he was one of the genius in India, one of the brightest men lived on the world at that time, and because he was from Dalit, and he was totally neglected, rejected. He could not sit with the dignitaries. He was not even given shake hand. Can you believe today, President of India, Dr. K.R. Narayanan, and he's from the Dalit, untouchable background. You come to our India, and all the leaders, the high caste, will never give shake hand to our prime minister. They greet him like this. You know why? If they shake hand with him, they become untouchable, unholy. And by mistake, if they stand with you and then, and if they shake hand with him, you know what they do? And they immediately, they have to go for number one. They will look for a restroom. You know why? Not to go for number one. They have to wash their hand and make it holy. If possible, they will bring and water from Ganges because they shook hand with the President of India. And this man, Ambedkar, and he said, I better go back to England. At least I was treated as a human being there and a senior elite citizen because I was a very good practicing lawyer. Then he said, I being in this position, if my condition is this, what will be the condition of my people? And he said, I will not go back. He went and challenged his people. Historically, we never had such a greater meeting in India in 1950 conducted by Ambedkar. And he called millions of people. And 1 million people agreed with him to become Christians. When the Christian leaders, first Roman Catholic Church, they flatly said no. Because if we take this Dalit and the high caste Hindus, the militant Hindus will burn our institution, burn our houses and kill us, so we don't want. And went to the mainline churches. You know what they said? The same reply, no. You know why people perish in India? Why Christians are persecuted in India? Because there was not even a single person at that time with the witch and saying, Ambedkar, we will welcome you. One day, 1 million people were willing to become Christians. In the following days, there would have been several hundred million people. And do you know how much are the Dalit or the untouchable people of India? And 70%, over 800 million people of India. At least majority of them would have been Christians. You know who persecuted Christians for the last 52 years? These Dalits. How did they do it? And the high caste bribed them, gave them money, inspired them to do it. Why people are perishing? All because there is no vision. You take the pages of the history, turn to Christianity, look at Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, and William Carey, and David Livingstone. You take any person, Adoniram Judson, one man with a vision. Why people perish? Because there is no vision. And friends, I was born and raised in a very, 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 very poor family. You cannot even imagine walking 5 miles up and down to the college with an empty and a naked foot almost every time with an half-empty stomach. And recently when I was saying that I was walking to college with half an empty stomach, one young boy turned to his mother and said, Mom, look at his belly. To fill that even halfway, and it needs a lot of food and so much of rice. And a friend, in those days it was not big as this, but it was never full. When I was walking to college, the Lord saved me in 1956 through the death of a good friend of mine. And when I got that great joy of salvation, I told my dad that I must go and share this good news to others. My poor father, according to Indian custom, and they send the eldest son with all the hardship that he may get education, then support the family. My poor father stood there and cried. He said, Son, I had so much hope that you will support the family. But if God called, you can go. I praise God for that old man. I talked to him even yesterday. And he's enjoying a good health. He's only 90. And he still preaches in a small country church. And I praise God for that. And he never had to regret for sending his one. And sorry, the eldest son. Friend, went to the Bible college. 1960 when I was graduate. The Lord gave me vision to go to Rajasthan. And a state which it was against the law, as you heard from Wayne, against the law to be a Christian until 1950. Even capital punishment was given. The Lord gave me burden. I decided to go. And I had a vision. I told my wife, she agreed. And 2-3 friends, and they said, we will go together with you. And the day when we came closer to go, no money. I told my wife, we are going to walk 1,500 miles. The reason was in 1958, when I had no money to go back to my home, that is 500 miles, because I had no money, I walked 57 days to my hometown. I said, if God could meet the need for 500 miles, he can meet the need for 15. At that time, I was a bachelor when I walked in 1958. But now I'm a married man. My wife is pregnant. She said, I'll walk with you. My friends said, they will walk. The students asked, Thomas, if somebody dies, then what you will do? I said, we'll bury that person, go further. If one person reached to Kota, Rajasthan, and give one New Testament, or give one gospel tract, or a portion of scripture, that's all enough. It will be a great success, not a failure. And the day before my graduation, Dr. Bill Bright came to Kota. Sorry, to our Bible college in Madras, HBI. He wanted me to join as the first representative for Campus Crusade in India. I said, Dr. Bright, I can never expect a better job for a young graduate from a Bible college than that. But I cannot do it because God has given me a vision to go to Rajasthan. I will not accept that. I thank you for that. And the friends, Dr. Bright and my friends, joined together, purchased the ticket to Kota. And we got the ticket. We decided to go and stay under the tree. And then Dr. Gupta said, my wife could go and work in some rich man's house and get, in those days, 15 rupees for a month job, maybe 50 cents today's rate, that money. And he said that maybe when she come back, she can bring some food for the evening and for you guys. I was a tall boy, only weighing 126 pounds at that time. And you can imagine how I looked like, just like this. And he said, Thomas, you can work and gain some money and support the family. We went there, friends, did not know the language. But Dr. Bright gave $25 every month for a house rent. And we stayed in a car shed. And the Lord blessed the work. 8 of my co-workers became martyrs. And my skull was broken. I was thrown into the prison. You heard now. 4,369 churches from that small beginning. And over 6,000 orphans, 140 schools. Why people perish? Because there is no vision. Friend, that is not my vision. Final. That was the beginning. And this is only a beginning. Now I am only 66. You know what is my prayer? Lord, give me at least 35 years more. You know why? Not to eat few more steaks or chicken or rice or... And to have one more house or one more suit. No, I have a vision. Friend, can you believe India has 80 million orphans? Listen it carefully. 80 million. 800 to 900 million Dalit open for the gospel. 4.5 million lepers are giving you red carpet to come and preach the gospel. Where there is no vision, people perish. I tell you today, God has kept an open door in India, and which India's history, 2,000 years, we have never seen. Even in the days of Ambedkar, we did not have it today. These Dalit 4,000 caste came together on November 4th, 2001. They declared and said through the TV and through every media and said this 100 times. We deny Hinduism. And we have only one hope. Our problem is not financial and not political. Our problem is spiritual. And we were kept under the bondage of Satan and slavery. The only one person who can deliver us is Jesus Christ. Friend, 600,000 and Hindu villages where there is not even one Christian open for the gospel and say, come and save us. And Jesus said, the greatest need is laborers. How can we get it? Friend, let me tell you a very simple truth. The most simple truth. And the world's history, we never had this many orphans. 100 million orphans in the world. Out of that, 80 million in India. You may ask, why? Because God has a plan to evangelize 1040 window through India. That is why these many orphans. I say orphans are the greatest blessing in the entire history in the Bible time. You may say, how, Thomas? And if you can brush up your mind, go with me. Do you know that Moses was an orphan? Left by his own parents in the river to die. Don't you think that he was an orphan? What about Joseph? What about Esther? What about Daniel? You turn to the Bible. What about John the Baptist? Both the father and mother died, and the child was living in the wilderness until the day when he came out of the wilderness and showed himself in the Jordan Valley, and he was an orphan, friend. And today, God has a plan with this orphan. You go to India, 80 million. I pray, Lord, give me 1 million. That's all I'm praying. And sometimes I ask, why God? And you put my name, Thomas, a doubting Thomas. Out of 80 million, you may ask, why don't you pray at least for 8 million? That is only 1/10, isn't it? And if I get 1 million orphans, we'll evangelize the entire world. And then they are 1040 window. I know that if India should be saved and the people with a vision must be ready to go and preach the gospel. And friends, and we can take. Can you believe you can take an orphan in India, not here? And even up to 16, 17, 18 years of age. And you may say 18-year-old boy is an orphan. You will see him come and sit there just like a puppy dog. And does not know the end of anything in the world, never had been to school. Friend, sisters, please listen. You never had to change the diaper. You never had to go through that labor pain. You get children, 10 years, 14 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and they are given under your ownership and train them, send them as missionaries, and we can start churches when it is open in India and in every part of that place. You know how much it costs? 70 cents a day. Where there is no vision, people perish. Friend, when you go in front of that Coke mission, keep the vision here. Lord, can't I save a life? Can't I bring a Moses, an Esther, a Joseph for delivering 1040 window and India? He could be a much greater man than Thomas. And friends, will you do that? $23 a month. Take an orphan. Train him. Pray that he may be a Moses. Pray that he may be an Esther. Don't go less than that. Where there is no vision. Young people, will you get a vision? Will you get a challenge? And Arab countries are open. Only we are afraid. We should go. If 2-3 people are killed, don't worry about it. And they call these bomb killers. And these people are going to kill, and hundreds of people and kill themselves are called martyrs. What a shame. And preachers, we need martyrs. And heaven says, and ask the martyrs, stay there under the altar for few more days, few more moments, and few more people are to be come here as martyrs. Heaven is looking for that. Young people, we need young people with a vision in India, in America, in African countries, in every Middle East country. If we go and preach the gospel, and these wicked people trained by and Satan for destroying the world will tend to be evangelists and will work for the Lord. Young people, where there is no vision, people perish. Will you ask the Lord, Lord, give me the vision? If you give me the burden and vision to go to Middle East, I will go. Maybe Saudi, maybe Dubai, maybe Bahrain, anywhere, I will go. Lord, if you give me the burden to go to China, I'll go. I'll go to India, and I want to get a vision. Lord, at least give me a vision to say one Coke. I can take the water, and we have plenty of fountain. I'll go and take the water from there and drink. But I wanted to have vision. Friend, will you please? Let us pray together. Will you please close your eyes? Friend, the world is perishing. America is perishing. And India is perishing. All because young people without vision. And the Lord promised, I'll pour my spirit upon every flesh, especially to young people, that they may see the vision. And they may get the vision. They may get the power. He said, I will empower them. Only I want the young people with a vision. Will you say, Lord, give me vision. Give me burden for the souls and the people there. And Lord, save me. Help me to do that. Will you please that pray that prayer? Will you want it to be a visionary? Will you want it to be an Hudson Taylor? A Moses? Maybe a Noah? Lord, I don't worry what is happening in the world. I want to be a visionary. I want to be a missionary. If you are willing to do that, will you please lift up your right hand where you are seated. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, make me a visionary. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this time and for the university, for the seminary. Pray for thy servant. Bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.